You're listening to SBS News.
As hospitalisations across the country increase, healthcare staff are in rapid decline due to illness and isolation requirements. Professor Tony Blakely, an epidemiologist at the Melbourne School of Population and Global Health, says the nation is yet to experience the peak of the Omicron outbreak.
You first of all have the infections, then you have the hospitalisations, and then you have the deaths. So we're seeing those three waves occur one after the other. So unfortunately, we expect the deaths to go up.
Last week, New South Wales predicted that the ICU admissions would peak at 273. They're already at 175. New South Wales Health Deputy Secretary, Dr. Susan Pearce, says the worst is far from over.
We'll have more to say later this week in terms of how we're tracking against the model that we released last week. But can I reiterate, our system will continue to be under pressure at least for the next few weeks. We've already made that comment, and I would just ask people to be patient and kind.
A lot of that burden rests on the types of cases circulating in the community. Chief Medical Officer Kerry Chant says the most recent data from New South Wales shows 90% of cases are Omicron, while 10% are Delta. But in intensive care wards, Delta is three times overrepresented, accounting for 33% of all admissions. Professor Blakely fears Delta may still be the variant of most concern.
There is still a minority, 5 to 10% of all infections that are still Delta. But because Delta is so much more serious or severe, that you see a greater number of those people in hospital and ICU with Delta.
He says collecting variant data is crucial to helping health systems prepare for the looming peak in cases.
It does matter whether it's Omicron or Delta, because from a government perspective, if there's a tiny wee amount of Delta and it's vast majority Omicron, then the burden on the health services will be less in 2 to 4 weeks' time. But if there's just 10% of it being Delta, then that may well double the hospital burden in 2 to 4 weeks' time. So it does make a difference for trying to plan and manage that hospital burden coming to hit us in 2 to 4 weeks' time.
As a means of collecting the most accurate data, New South Wales Premier Dominic Perrottet has mandated the reporting of positive rapid test results.
If someone fails to register a positive rapid antigen test, there will be a $1,000 fine, and enforcement of this fine will come in a week's time. So that's from the 19th of January.
People can now register positive RAT results through the New South Wales service app or website, which went live on Wednesday morning. The app also screens for underlying health conditions, as Dr. Amith Shetty from New South Wales Health explains.
People who are likely to need additional help are those with significant health problems that impact the heart, lungs, kidney and the immune system, and especially those with active cancer on chemotherapy.
From now on, these are the only patients who can expect to hear from health officials, taking the pressure off the state's buckling health system. Meanwhile, the staffing situation in Victorian hospitals is also deteriorating. Acting Victorian Premier James Molino says the number of healthcare staff unable to work due to isolation requirements increased by 50% overnight.
I can tell you today it's more than 6,600 health service workforce who are unavailable to work right now. So this is a system under strain.
He says people with experience in health settings will be asked to assist as further staff shortages are expected.
We're calling on first-year health students, retired nurses and more to join an expanded workforce of COVID-19 vaccinators to be trained and deployed across our state-run vaccination clinics. We'll be targeting up to 1,000 Victorians to come on board, people with appropriate knowledge, skills and experience, and that could be you. And applications open next week.
This comes as Victoria records its highest number of people hospitalised with COVID-19. Meanwhile, South Australia has opened up COVID-19 wards in two more major hospitals to bring the total number of ICU beds across the state to 60. Premier Stephen Marshall says staff shortages are a growing concern.
We do unfortunately have more SA health staff who are COVID positive. In fact, we now have 524, and that means 892 in total in terms of those people who are furloughed and can't go to work.
The state recorded 3,715 cases of the virus, 7 deaths, and 27 patients in ICU. Hospitalisations are also on the rise in Queensland, where Chief Health Officer John Gerrard is urging all citizens to get vaccinated to avoid a serious case of the virus.
If you are unvaccinated, you are 9 times more likely to end up in a Queensland hospital than if you are triple vaxxed.
The state has 30 people in ICU and 22,069 new cases. Meanwhile, Western Australia has detected 2 new cases and has now labelled the Northern Territory an extreme risk, banning travellers from the state to enter WA from Thursday morning. It comes as the NT identifies 352 cases of COVID-19, with 28 people in hospital and 2 in intensive care. The ACT has recorded 1,078 new infections and 23 people in hospital, while Tasmania has detected 1,583 new cases, with 22 people in hospital and none in intensive care. For health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Brooke Young, SBS News.